I wanted to start by reading from a part from Psalm 18. This is a psalm that was one of David's songs after God delivered him from his enemies in a battle, delivered him from Saul, who was trying to do him harm. And he says these words, I'm starting from verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield, and your right hand sustains me. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. And I just love that, a reminder of who our God is. Who is God besides the Lord? He is our rock. He is our sure foundation. And so we're going to start by just singing together a song, How Great is Our God. And I will ask you to stand with me for this song as we sing together. To have a seat, but we're going to stay in that attitude of worship and prayer, and just a few things that are happening in the lives of people in our community that we want to pray for. Know if there's any other particular things that are going on that people are aware of that they would like us to pray for, very briefly. We're going to pray for Matt again. A couple of weeks ago we prayed for him as he had gone and applied for getting into the police force, and there's been some progress with that, which has been great, and we want to continue praying again just with him, if that's the right thing, for favour in that. Any other things, needs? Yes, Jill.
We still have to hold this microphone, or have you got a better one? At Brighton Light, we have to hold the bottom into the mic so that we can get our voice through. Thursday mornings during school term, we have a craft day here from 10 until 12. We actually have 185 people registered. At the moment, there are about 50 coming. It's obviously voluntary and people are a bit nervous about the virus. But the most important part of our number is our 25 volunteers who work here, all connected with the church in some way, but not necessarily. And we're in a situation where we need some more teams for pack up and set up. So set up is before Thursday morning, and pack up is after Thursday morning. Now, it takes about an hour, and you're on a roster of four teams. So in a 11-week term, you might only have three times that you might come out, two or three times. And in a 12-week, you'd probably get four times. So if somebody, a couple of friends or a family would like to come and just give us that time once a month, for the school terms, once or twice. It's once a month it works out, because they're over 3 months. Too early in the morning. But yes, please come and see me, because we do need some people. We just moved the trestles around into tables and chairs for the crafties, and then afterwards they come back into the church configuration. So please think about that. If you've got someone, or if you know someone who'd like to come and help, that would be really great. Thank you. God bless.
Thanks. So, well, and we can pray for the right people, but maybe also be the answer to that prayer as well. And that reminds me, for a long time we've been praying as a church for someone to come and take over running the children's ministry, because it's such a hugely important thing. We thought maybe there was someone who was going to do that, but they've had to decline. And so we are still praying for that. So please continue to keep that in your thoughts and your prayers, and let's see what God will do and who he will bring. Any other things that we can be praying for this morning? Don't want to drag it out. Well, I'm sure, yes, Will. Patience for just... Yes, okay. Patience, because things are going slow. Okay. Yes, lots of people in Victoria will need a lot of patience. They are getting very frustrated as well. But also, yes, we do want people to be well and to be safe.
Is it going better?
It is going better, and that's been good. So it's been improving there, so we want to continue to see that going well. He's going to come and join us in prayer.
Someone put their hand up.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
Praying that through Corona, people might know Christ more.
Yes. Yes, that God can work through it. Yes, so we want to pray. Okay, we pray for Kelly, and we'll be praying that, yes, through all that is happening, God does work his purposes through things that we don't always understand, but that in this time of coronavirus that people will find God. So let's come and spend some time in prayer together, and other things that you have on your heart, please do lift them before the Lord as we pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again that we are your children, that you do invite us to come before your throne of grace to bring our thanksgiving, our gratefulness, our acknowledgement of who you are in this world and who you are in our lives. And Father, you also invite us to bring before you the things that are of concern to us, and those things that we've heard already this morning, particularly needs in our church community here, and for people to be willing to step into roles supporting Bright and Light, supporting and taking on the children's ministry. Father, these are important ways that we reach into our community, and Lord God, we want your best for our kids. We want your best for those who come into this place. So Father, we continue to pray that you would maybe just stir hearts for the right people to step up and to take those things on. Lord God, we know that there are many who've been struggling with ill health, and we lift them before your throne of grace this morning. We pray for your healing hand, for health, for wholeness, for strength, for patience, and encouragement for each of them. Father, thank you that you know each and every one. We pray particularly for Kelly. She's on someone's heart, so we thank you for her, Lord, and pray that you'd be with her in all her endeavours. We continue to pray for Matt and his process of application. Again, Father, that if this is what you have in store for him, that you would grant him favour in that process and just wisdom as he goes through that. Just all the other things, Lord God, that are on our hearts this morning, we bring them before you. Thank you that you hear our prayers, that your eye is on us, your ear is toward us, and that you are a God, as we've just read in your word this morning, who is a shield and a safe place, a refuge for those who seek you. And as has been prayed, Father, we ask that during this time of stress and uncertainty in so many places around the world, with fear in regard to this virus, Lord God, that you would be drawing people to yourself, that you would grant patience to those who are struggling with the restrictions that have been placed on them, that you would give them a heart for the people around them to see how this is actually to be a blessing to those around and helping out those who are vulnerable. And we pray for those who are in positions of leadership as well, Lord God, and the many, many hard decisions that they have to make. And we pray that you give them wisdom. We pray that you give them insight and surround them with people who will provide true and sensible advice, and that just as they govern and as they lead, Father, that your hand would be upon them. And that through this all, Lord Jesus, you would be about your work again of revealing yourself and bringing people to yourself, that they may know the gift of salvation that is available in you, that they may be restored to relationship with you. That's our heart prayer this morning. So, Lord God, all of these things we just bring before you. Thank you that as we're going to look into your word and to hear again about how when we stand with you and we're doing your purposes, that you are with us and that you do provide a way. And we thank you for that encouragement this morning. Amen. We're going to continue to sing in worship to this God of wonders, and I'll invite you to stay seated for this song as we sing about the God of wonders. Thank you.
declares your majesty.
Colin.
Right, well, again, good morning, everyone, and we've all been under instruction from David, so we're all sitting as we should. Very good, but there are still some spare seats in the front, so you're right if you are late, come and sit there. Friends, a few notices, but make sure that you go online and just go on to Focus and you'll be able to read all the bits and pieces. But to draw your attention just to a couple of things, yes, please keep in prayer about someone that we can pay a day a week to do a children's program here in the church. And some of you are aware of H21, they have decided not to continue in the form they have been, so we'll pray for them in a moment or two. And the other thing is that Betty's daughter and son-in-law were involved in a serious accident a few weeks ago. Betty's daughter-in-law is possibly moving to Strathalbyn to rehab, but her son-in-law is still in a coma. So we need to be in prayer there. Now, I wonder if we could have that slide up, please, Thomas, the slide of maybe a little bit hard to see, but those of you who've been with us for a while would remember Leslie and her time with us and whatever. So she, of course, couldn't graduate here in Australia because she couldn't come back from Africa. And so this is the photo. They sort of had a bit of a family get together, and with nieces and nephews and her own family. And so on the extreme right is her husband, and then you've got other members of the family, and you may remember that she has got two children with disabilities, and they're there in the photo. So she sent that across with memories of us and just saying how much she sort of misses us and how much we miss having her. So hopefully one day she may be able to come back, I think probably to do a master's, a doctorate. Who knows what, but please keep Leslie and her family in your prayers. Now, one thing that we want to know about is the basketball. So, Tristan, can you just grab a microphone from over there, please? And just let us know about basketball for a couple of minutes.
That's good. Thanks very much for that, Colin, and not to steal thunder from your speech earlier, your message later on today, but... it's a really timely theme as well for today when we talk about team. And just wanted to let you guys know about a ministry that's been running for probably the past 2 or 3 years across lots of different churches in this local area. And especially the interesting thing about this church is that this is one of the first churches to be involved in this ministry years and years and years and years ago. I think we're talking 1950 to 1960 sometime when it started as Brighton Baptist Youth Group, I think, all those years ago. So I wanted to let you know about something called Holfast Heat Church Basketball Ministry. We're a Christian-run basketball club that plays mainly in the SA Church Basketball Association, or SACBA. It used to be known as United Church Basketball Association years ago, and before that, the South Australian Baptist Basketball Association years ago. So we play in the Saturday afternoon competition representing churches not able to run basketball activities in the southwest corner of Adelaide, including friends and supporters and members of these churches. Our mission is to provide a sports ministry outlet for our churches and Christian schools to participate in to form community with members of our local communities and our surrounding networks. Our approach is based around the Australian Baptist Basketball Carnival, where we build relationships within our community and provide support and life wisdom through the scriptures, through team times that is tailored to each of our communities. We believe that Jesus wants to grow members of the community to be able to find purpose in their lives. Our junior players begin as embers, which are the boys, and the sparklers, which are the girls, as they are a flame that needs nurturing and protection in their walk of life journey, and will eventually grow into heat, which is our men's teams, and our sparks, which are our women's teams, that can influence positively those around them in their local community. We carefully select our leadership around those who are attending our local churches and their faith in Jesus is connected with their daily lives. We also believe having different leadership from different churches helps connect the community as a whole and brings us all together as all parts of the one body, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:12. So at the moment, we are heading towards summer season and it's looking really exciting perspective-wise. So a huge blessing to all the local churches here, which have potentially yielded us 5 men's teams at this point for the coming summer, as well as continuing our under-16 junior boys team at the moment, and also looking at potentially up to 4 women's teams, which is really exciting. So we're praying that those teams all come through so that we can provide a positive impact to the South Australian Church Basketball Association. So at the moment, if you know anyone that's looking to get into an area, perhaps you know some non-Christians, for an example, who have an interest in not necessarily sport, but maybe it's activity, maybe it's community, maybe it's connection. We're welcoming players and people of any background, any sort. We've got great connections with organisations like the Mervick Foundation, which is through a group of Kenyan people, and that's been really terrific to have them involved with Holfast Heat this year. We've also got connections with other local churches around this area, such as Edwardstown Baptist Church. We're looking at connections with Baptist Care South Australia currently at the moment as well. So there's some real, like, so to say, there's some fire that's being stoked at the moment for Holfast Heat. So we're welcoming senior men's, under 20 men's, women's and under 16 boys and new players of all ability and skill. The other thing we're doing as well is we're running a community gym on Sunday afternoons on a regular basis between 1 and 3pm down at Edwardstown Baptist Church Gymnasium. So anyone that's looking to, who's over 18 looking to work on their skills and connect with the local community across this area through basketball as an activity, but also through some spiritual discernship through that basketball by being able to be there as a listening ear and to support them in sports chaplaincy, then please contact me. The details are in your focus. I've sent them out to all the local churches as well. So, and just continue to be in prayer for this time, because it's not only an exciting time for us, it's an exciting time for things like our district affiliate, which is SA Church Stars, which is a district affiliate of the South Australian Church Basketball Association, and for the entire church basketball network. There's some really great things that are going on behind closed doors at the moment. Please be in prayer for that, because it's pretty amazing what's happening at the moment and the movement that Jesus is doing in everyone's lives. Thanks.
So I guess if you want to build up your abs or do something else, you go down to the gym this afternoon. Right. Right, Daniel, please. Now, some of us are aware that Daniel's been away up at Cape and Ray, just having a wonderful time and relaxing and resting and doing all sorts of great things. Now, you're just home for another week, is that right?
Yeah.
Another week. So Naomi will be crying again next week. Is that right, Naomi? You've given up. The tears are finished, are they? Yeah, righto. Fine. Well, Daniel, tell us just something. Oh, well, tell us first of all what Cape and Ray does.
Well, Cape and Ray is just a ministry for just growth of young people and older people to just learn about the indwelling life of Christ and just how crucial and important everyday life with Jesus really is. And it's so incredible. I've been learning so much, and the course I've been doing that they mainly run is called BDM, which stands for Bible, Discipleship, and Ministry.
Right. Well, I can talk from here and you can answer from there.
Cool.
Right. So you've just been there this year. Staying another year?
Maybe.
Right.
The course ends at the end of the year, but I might stay on longer with doing some volunteer work or something there.
Righto. Food's been good?
Oh, food's been incredible.
Right.
Feed us well there.
They feed you well. Right. They're probably about an 8, mum's about a 12 and a half.
Oh, no, mum's always going to be top.
Right. Oh, good. Righto.
Nothing beats home
Very
cooking.
Good. Mum will always be on the top. Righto. Well, tell us how many students are there at the moment?
At the moment, I think it's going to be just under 20, but in the first term it was about 33.
Right.
Because mainly it's mainly international students, and with the whole situation at the moment, it's a bit of a struggle getting more people to come.
So everyone pays?
Yes.
What sort of fees?
That's a good question. I've sort of been sponsored to go.
Righto.
So I've been working there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Every afternoon I've been working on the property team, just doing maintenance and just doing stuff that has to be done.
Right. There's a job here going when you come back on maintenance. Yes. So what else would you want to say to us about Cape and Ray, or about you?
Oh.
And Cape and Ray.
Well, they really just... Jesus is the focus there. And I wouldn't have been able to do anything or even get there without Jesus.
Great. And we're glad to support you. And thank you for all of the things that you've sent us. I'm not sure. It's the mail at the moment that's, not working. Yeah, right. And sometimes computers are down, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, right. No, but we haven't forgotten you, Daniel.
No, all of the prayers and blessings.
So when do you, do you finish, say, a uni term or a uni semester? Do you finish in November and we'll see you back when you've isolated or whatever?
No, this next term goes for 12 weeks. So it'll be December, around the beginning of December.
Oh, all right. Not till then. Right. Oh, fair enough. Well, if there's anything that Daniel hasn't answered, have a talk to him afterwards. Oh, yes. I had asked Joey Everett, who's also there, but he wasn't available today, so we'll just see. But he's up there as a comrade with you, so to speak. Yep. Oh, great. Righto. Well, let me pray for you. And we'll also just mention H21, because I know there are some people with sort of sad hearts and confused minds at the moment. Our Father, we thank you for the way that you work in people's lives and in churches. And we just thank you for Daniel. It was only a couple of years ago that he was here and there was uncertainty about future. Last year with year 12, and look at what's happened. And we're just delighted to be able to give to you the praise and the support for him. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And we want to ask that as he returns, that you continue by your Spirit to teach him and to teach Joey, that they might learn more of the love of God and just how that affects not only their lives, but then as they, wherever they go in the world, but that they will be able to affect other people's lives. So thank you for them. Keep him safe, keep him well, help him to develop friendships that are going to be lifelong. And Father, may your blessing be upon him in a very real way. And we come now and we just think of some of the turmoil that H21 have been going through. Some people with sad hearts, confused minds, uncertainty. And for them we pray, Father, for your touch to just bring to them a sense of your peace and of your purpose, and give to Craig and to others a sense of direction for the future. Father, we ask these things as we bring before you the assurance that you are our God, and we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks, friend.
Thanks, Colin.
Right. Right, children, if anyone wants to come down the front, you're most welcome. We missed you last week, Alexandra, and we missed you, Lisa. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, we've been talking about, who's this character? Nehemiah. Right. And what was he doing? Building a wall, that's right. Now, I don't think this is quite the wall of Jerusalem. However, I've got it. It's a bit colourful for the wall of Jerusalem, but see, that was a wall all around a big city. We don't quite understand that because we haven't got a big wall around Adelaide, but there was a big wall around it and people lived inside it. Right, but see, there were holes in the wall where they could see if anyone was coming to attack, and they could shoot through here like that. Hello, Susanna. And do you know what happened? Do you know what happened, Lisa? Pardon? It sort of, yes, it fell because other people came in and down went the wall. The doors, which were like gates to let people in and out, were made of wood, not stone, because they couldn't open a stone door, but was made of wood. And, of course, they were all burnt. So that was that. Done. And all of the people were rounded up and captured, whoop, and taken off to another country. And it just was like that. Burnt, and these were all stones, just broken. Sad. And then Nehemiah heard about it and he said, this is dreadful because it looks like God doesn't care and it looks like we don't care about God because we're leaving it like this. So, do you remember what he did or what happened? Well, in time he's going to rebuild it. We're not quite up to that bit yet, but what did he do? Who did he have to speak to? Someone very important. The king. Well, it was important the king spoke to him, and then he spoke to the king. And The king said, yes, you can go back and you can rebuild the wall. And so he did go back and he started to rebuild the wall. Yes, and he started to put things together again in a very clever way. Now, I, of course, wasn't sure who was going to be here today. I'm never sure. So there are those blocks and some extra blocks in here. And on the table there are some rubber mats, just so that we don't really need a lot of noise. All right? So it's fine if you want to build, but we don't need a lot of noise while people are trying to listen, although maybe the noise will wake them up, so that'll be all right. But for you who weren't here last week, and neither of you two were here last week, pardon? I don't think you were here last week, Alexander. Oh, I beg your pardon. Was it the week before you weren't? I thought you weren't last week. Well, if you want to go through that one again, this is the wall, Lisa, and these are some questions, a bit like where's Wally, but it's where's Nehemiah. All right? There. But the other thing is, with the building project, there's glue on the table, and so there's this building project, and there are these sticks, coloured sticks, matchsticks, big brown sticks that you can break up. And on the wall segment, I just did this, but it was a bit rough. So if you're able to break the sticks so that they fit on the size of the stones, all right, and rebuild the wall if you'd like to. So you can do blocks and build the wall. If you missed this last week and you'd like to do it, you can do that. Or you can stick on there. I've actually opened two glues and stuck brushes in to make sure that there's glue and it's not just hard. So there's glue in there and there's those sticks. All right? So, our Lord and our God, we thank you for the children in our church and we pray that as they continue to do bits and pieces about Nehemiah, that they might learn about how powerful, how great and how wonderful you are. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. No, well, I'm sorry, Alexander. Righto. So, maybe could you carry that for us, please? Righto. You right with that? Oops. Can you carry that for us, please, Lisa? Thank you. Who's this?
Elijah.
Elijah. Right. Susanna, could you carry those for us, please? Good, thank you. We might carry them.
We're going to have our Bible reading now, and then we'll have one more song before Colin continues the message. Thank you.
Howdy, everyone. Today we're reading from Nehemiah 4, chapter 4, verses 15 to 23. So just give everyone a sec to get there. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 15 to 23. Reads, when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan, we all returned to the wall, each to his work. From that day on, half of my servants worked on construction and half held the spears, shields, bows and coats of mail. And the leaders stood behind the wall, the whole house of Judah, who were building on the wall. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each laboured on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And each of the builders had his sword strapped to his side while he built. The man who sounded the trumpet was beside me, and I said to the nobles and to the officials and to the rest of the people, "The work is great and widely spread, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. In the place where you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we laboured at the work, and half of them held the spears from the break of dawn until the stars came out. I also said to the people at the time, let every man and his servant pass the night within Jerusalem, that they may be a guard for us by night and may labour by day. So neither I nor my brothers, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon at his right hand.
Thanks, Sam. So we're just going to have one last song together before Colin comes. And again, I'll invite you to stay seated as we sing this Be Still for the presence of the Lord who's working amongst us.
Of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Come bow before Him now with reverence and fear. In Him no sin is found. We stand on holy ground. Presence of the Lord, the Holy One is here. Be still, for the glory of the Lord is shining all around. He burns with holy fire, with splendor He is crowned. Shining all around. Be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister His grace. No
Someone said to me when they picked up one of the sheets in the pew, week six. Oh, I thought it was only week four. Oh, I tell you, there are a few more weeks as we continue on in this book of Nehemiah. I hope that we're not saying, oh, Nehemiah, but we're saying, how incredibly relevant is Nehemiah? How incredibly relevant. So today, as Sam read to us, we're in chapter 4 at the end of this chapter. And we're a team, and on the front, our God will fight for us. So if you're sitting in a seat and you haven't got a green sheet and you want one, just quickly move around and grab one. Otherwise, stay where you are. Right. Now, I'm sort of the type of person who forgets things very quickly, so I need to be reminded. And just a quick reminder of where we are. There was a problem, as I said to the children. This is what's happened. The people are in exile. They're in exile because they've sinned. God has intervened and taken them out. They were disobedient initially, but now they've become complacent. They're very happy. Well, they're comfy in exile, and that's what's going to be stirred up a bit later. So we've known Nehemiah's reaction, and I trust that that has been very important reaction for us when we're confronted with an issue. We have been people who maybe have sat down, maybe cried over the issue, if that's it. Certainly we've prayed, and hopefully we've taken time. The worst thing, often, when confronted with an issue, is to act immediately. Sometimes it's good to stop and pray and think. Then there was a God-given opportunity. God's hand, Nehemiah saw, was on him. I prayed and said to the king, right through Nehemiah, there are certain themes. One is prayer. Another one is God and me in combination. It's always God and me in combination. Right. And then Nehemiah went around and got all of the facts. That's an important thing too, when we're wanting to confront an issue, that we actually get the facts, we get the truth. Then they worked on the wall next to each other. That's important in church life too. Working together, very important. And then last week, we saw that there was some white anting of the situation. I know a few people of you laughed, how do you white ant a stone wall? Well, you can white ant it and do something underneath and upset situation. But people had a mind to work and they worked. That brings us simply up to date, and we'll see where we go today. In verse 15, when Sam read to us, our enemies, this is in chapter 4, our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan. God had frustrated their plan. Friends, we need to realise that as Christians, that it's often God who frustrates plans in ways that we don't even think. So, God had frustrated their plan. I had their discouragement, and sometimes we can be discouraged in Christian life. Discouragement leads to fear, confusion and tiredness. Trust, action and prayer helps in the overcoming. Now, there's a little map there, just a brief little map. Last week we had another one which was a bit harder to understand. There are still some copies on the back table. But we realised that they were having opposition from all areas. Samaria, the Ammonites, the Arabs, Ashdod, the Philistines were all focusing in on Jerusalem. Sometimes it seems to us as if the whole world is against us. As if the whole world, everything goes wrong and everyone's against us. Nehemiah is there in Jerusalem. But you see, these people who were opposing the work at Jerusalem were what we would call pagan people. They didn't realise that God was at work in all of this. Well, I mean, they did, but they didn't. They didn't realise, like we might realise, that God is at work in our situations. They didn't have the history of the working of God. I don't know that they had realised fully that God had taken the people out of Jerusalem as his punishment. They just thought that they were clever in knocking down the walls and burning the doors. But in fact, God was behind this to teach his people a lesson. That's important for us too, to realise that sometimes things happen in our lives, not because God is horrible, but that God loves us and wants to teach us a lesson. We need to realise that. Now, for a while, Nehemiah and his workers had a temporary relief or relief from attack. But, friends, I've got there in your notes, Satan sometimes just backs off for a few minutes and then, boom, he re-attacks. Please, please, please remember that just because you're under attack, it's not necessarily that you've been sinful or disobedient. Attacks come because we're Christians. There's opposition all sorts of things come. It's part of our normal Christian life, and Jesus is a great model of that. The life of Jesus and his temptations are there because we will be tempted. Yes, persecution. Let's learn to live with the consequence of a right or a godly decision. You know, often we make a decision, it doesn't work out, and we say, oh, stupid me. Of course, that's my fault. But, you know, sometimes we make the right decision, and it's just because it's the right decision that there's some sort of opposition or persecution or whatever we want to say. So let's not be afraid to make the right decision and then be prepared that we might come under attack, because we're dealing with two different worlds. We're dealing with the world of God and we're dealing with the world of opposition. And of course, if we're going to be standing for God, there's going to be strife. So let's live with the consequence of a correct decision. Now, for victory, we need to be prepared. And I've got that on little green paper today. There are four things. For victory, we need to be prepared, united, faithful, and aware. And on the back of your page, we've got the soldier. This could be the theme of Nehemiah, really. And that is, for prayer, we need the armour of God. The battle in prayer prepares us for the battle in the world. Without prayer, you may go into battle without the whole armour of God, but we need to use spiritual weapons. This is a bit of reverse. When I say reverse, in Corinthians we're told that the spiritual weapons that we have are right and strong for the pulling down of strongholds. Now, I know we're talking about the rebuilding of the wall. That's one aspect of God's work. But friends, we're not building walls, physical walls. We're pulling down, as it were, spiritual barriers. And part of that is that we need to be aware of this little soldier and the things there. Now, we go back, and these are the things that are part of spiritual armour. You know, people sometimes say, oh, I put on the spiritual armour every morning. Well, I'm never sure when you take it off, but I guess it's probably uncomfy to go to bed in, and particularly if it's like this. But we need to be reminded all the time that we are not fighting against what we can see. We are fighting against what we really can't see. We might see the manifestation of it, but we can't see it physically. It's not like a soldier coming with a gun or a spear or a bow and arrow. That's not the opposition that we as Christians are working against. So these are the parts of the armour that are on the back of your little sheet and the things that we need to deal with. And it starts off in verse 10 of Ephesians saying, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So that's who we are. We know that we're weak in our own strength, but we are strong in God. Why? Because greater is he who is within than the one who is without. And so, as believers, we all have the Holy Spirit. We have God within us by the power of his Spirit. So, we are not contending in a normal way. We have the Spirit of God within. We, as it were, are working in a spiritual realm. I think we don't always understand that. We don't always understand. We tend to think, the harder I work, the more I strategize. No. Let's just realize that what we are doing is that we need to say to God, we're in this together. It's you and me. and you're within me, and I need to work with you in this situation. And the way you work, Father, is often different from the way I would work or think. So, truth. Satan is the father of lies. There are other things that Satan does as well. He comes as what?
Destroyer.
A destroyer, an angel of light. Yes, a deceiver, a divider, and a father of lies. But he tells things that are nearly the truth, which is often the case with a lie, isn't it? Particularly a white lie. It's nearly the truth. So, the first thing we need to be aware of is truth. And that holds everything together. That goes around the middle. It's the belt of truth. In King James, it's called the girdle, I think. And those of you who've lived long enough to know what a girdle is, an old-fashioned corset that sort of held grandma together. But actually, it wasn't an article of truth at all. It concealed the truth. But, yeah, the belt of truth. The belt of truth that holds everything together in this situation. Friends, if we don't want the truth of God, if we don't want God to act truthfully, and if we're not truthful with God, well, we might as well give up. Because we're dealing with a God of truth. And that's where we start. What about righteousness? Yes. Again, Satan wants to say, probably this little bit of sin doesn't matter at all. Like, it's not going to be all that harmful. And once we are tricked, we are trapped. And then we think, oh, I've sinned. Oh, how dreadful. And we're in trouble. So we need to make sure that we're not tricked there. Our righteousness is in Jesus. Our salvation is in Jesus. So, of course, we're going to sin. Otherwise, why have we got in the Bible? If we sin, if we confess, he's faithful to forgive us. If we weren't going to sin, why would that bit be in the Bible? So, of course, God knew our humanity, but Satan watches. It's important to realise that God knows our thoughts. Satan doesn't. He's a created being. So he only observes our actions. So we do something, he just points his finger straight on it. And that's what gets us every time. Because he keeps saying, I know you did this. I know you did this. And so we find ourselves going, oh, right. Let's not get caught with that. Our righteousness is in Christ and our forgiveness is in him, and boom, on we go. Let's not be silly about that. Peace. Yes, our feet shod with the gospel of peace, the peace of God in our heart. How wonderful. Faith, trusting in God. Not trusting in ourselves, trusting in God. And our salvation, I've just said, is in him. This is part of the armour, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Why it's important to think about the Word of God, to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to think about it and apply it. Let's make sure, because we've got that sword and it's two-edged. And that's important for us. And then praying at all times. That's interesting, isn't it? Because when we get there, at the end of all of this armour business, what is it for? It's so we can pray powerfully. Yes. What's Nehemiah's weapon? Prayer. What's our weapon? Prayer. So if we learn nothing more from Nehemiah, we learn he is a prayerful man. And we see prayers answered in incredible ways. And the whole idea of the armour is so that we can pray powerfully, dressed appropriately, dressed, as it were, spiritually, but dressed appropriately so that we can pray powerfully, because that's the weapon really that we have, which is so different from any other weapon of warfare. Now, that's the first thing I've got for victory. Be prepared. We'll go quickly through the others. We've got him there. And again, let me just remind you that the Roman soldier with his shield, one line, and then over your head, moving like an armadillo, you know, those animals with the scaly, whatever they've got, scales, I suppose, and just moving like that so that if arrows came across, they were all protected. It's important for us as a Christian church that we work together like that, moving like that. For victory, we need to be united. When we had it read, we read word in verse 19, and I said, that's Nehemiah, the work is great and widely spread, so we need the trumpet to rally us. Yes, we need each other, friends, if we're going to be victorious in this. You cannot be an isolated Christian. You cannot be an isolated Christian. We were born, and we're finding that out under the virus, we were born to be relational, and as church people, Christians, we are born to be relational. We're part of the body. It's no good having a big toe over here and a finger over here and a shoulder over here. That's no good. We're part of the body. So, for victory, we need to be united. Friends, for victory, we need to be faithful. Yes, God will fight for us. We know that. But we also need to realise, pardon me, that we need to be part of this. When we see what was going on, it's interesting, isn't it? What did they do? They didn't just say, oh, God will fight. We'll all just sit down. No. And we know in Christian life that while God is on our side, yep, there is a responsibility for us. The God of heaven will give us success. I've just put there that it's interesting because, you see, these backgrounds, these people coming from the Arab world and the Philistines and all, a lot of them made their gods. They created their gods out of stone and gold and gemstones and all. So they had a visible God. Nehemiah says, the God of heaven, the God we can't see, but we can see what he's doing. And we need to be reminded of that too, because there are lots of things around, lots of beliefs around, where people are talking about, you know, what's going on? Where is God? Well, God is at work in what he is doing. And then the last little bit, for victory in verses 21 to 23. So we laboured at the work with spears from the break of dawn till the sun came out. That's a day's work. From when the sun comes up to when the sun goes down, perhaps 12 hours. Let's not complain. And the people at that time and every servant lived within Jerusalem so they could guard. They didn't take off their clothes. That'd be great. And each kept a weapon in their hand. So, if we want victory in the Christian life, it is hard work. So give up now. Give up now if you're not prepared for some hard work. It requires self-sacrifice, we see there. Discomfort, yep, no washing or changing of clothes, and it never includes laziness. So friends, what happened? Well, the wall continues to get built, which is amazing. And why does it get built? Because the people work together. They're not afraid to work together. They're united in purpose. They're trusting in God. For us, we're not going to go out in the street and have to fight people. We're not going to go out with guns or swords or anything, although some of you, I guess, maybe have been involved in world wars. But we've got to go out spiritually aware, spiritually alert and alive, because we are aware that God is at work, but so is opposition. Now, we're not to be fearful of that, because we know we're on the side of victory. And we need to know that we can fight with the weapons that God has given us. So let's make sure that although I might joke about putting on and putting off the armour of God, let us make sure that we are equipped, that we are prepared as faithful soldiers, or however we think of ourselves, to fight and be part of the warfare that we're involved in. Now, why have we got this armour? We've got it so that we might pray effectively. Let's be careful. Some churches are very strong on spiritual warfare. We've got to fight the devil. Well, actually, the devil has already been fought and defeated. We need to stand firm on what has been accomplished, and we need to pray powerfully so that we are victorious. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank you that you've set everything in place with the victory of Jesus for our victory. And so we pray that we'd not play fast and loose with you, but rather that we would be faithful in praying and living as you want us to. Lord, we don't know what each other's challenges are, or battles, spiritual aspects, but we thank you that the victory is in Jesus. So send us out from this place, aware of the power of prayer, and aware too that we're not competing against flesh and blood, but spiritual forces. So may we use spiritual weapons and know the victory that is ours in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Colin. So, there's a challenge, and how encouraging it is that we don't do this in our own strength and in our own abilities, but by the work of God at work in us. So our last song is just a reminder that all that we do is through the power of his love and his spirit at work in us. I'll invite you to stand and we'll sing that last song together, inviting God to come and to work in our lives.
Grace that I
Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you that it is through the Holy Spirit, your Holy Spirit at work in us, your love at work in us, that we are able to be your people, your church, your witnesses in this world. So I pray, Lord God, that as we go out this week, that we would stand in the victory that you have won for us, and that we would live lives that are victorious through the power of you at work in us. And may we do all of this, Lord God, with your grace, with your mercy, and with the very attitude of Christ in how we live our lives and how we deal with those that we encounter each and every day. Amen. So please, on your way out, if you'd like to get a coffee from the foyer or a tea in the hall, if you're wondering about offering, that's a box on the way out. Otherwise, have a great week. Thank you.